remind us every day. It simply has no limit. Learn more about how we care for your whole body, mind, and spirit at AdventHealth.com.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Following the coordinated airstrikes by the U.S. and Britain targeting Houthis' militant operations in Yemen, President Biden, at an event in Pennsylvania, says the U.S. is working to deter the Iranian-backed militants from carrying out more attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea.
We will make sure that we respond to the Houthis as they continue this outrageous behavior, along with our allies.
The president, speaking with small business owners in Allentown today, also says he still has confidence in Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, even though Austin did not inform the White House for days he was hospitalized due to complications from undergoing treatment for prostate cancer. House Speaker Mike Johnson says despite pushback from hardline House conservatives, he'll keep to the $1.6 trillion top-line agreement he and Senate leader Chuck Schumer worked out. That will avoid next week's looming government shutdown. Volatile storms stretching across the country, including blizzard conditions hitting the Midwest. This is ABC News. After a series of problems with Boeing 747 MAX jets, the federal government will increase oversight of Boeing.
A door plug ripping off a Boeing 737 MAX 9 in flight. This after, in 2018 and 2019, two MAX 8 crashes that killed 346 people blamed on design flaws involving flight control software. Now the FAA announcing it will increase oversight over Boeing and start an immediate audit of the company's production and manufacturing. The FAA to also take a look at a program that leaves certain parts of the aircraft certification up to the manufacturer itself. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Boeing said it welcomes the FAA's increased oversight and will cooperate fully and transparently with the agency. A huge ancient city has been found in the Amazon, giving new insight about the people who live there. Scientists say the city was hidden for thousands of years by lush vegetation. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. Proposed legislation would toughen penalties against drivers who flee police.
Milwaukee area Representative Bob Donovan says too many of those drivers kill people.
It is sickening, the devastation
that they leave in their wake.
Mark Hagan's 32-year-old daughter, Erin Mogensen, and her unborn child were killed last November when a fleeing felon struck her vehicle.
Stop ignoring the carnage and death created by reckless driving and the criminals like my daughter's killer who turn automobiles into killing tools.
Donovan's bill increases penalties and mandatory minimum sentences for various offenses involving fleeing an officer. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A former Roman Catholic cardinal charged with sexual assault has been found incompetent to stand trial.
A Walworth County judge made the ruling this week in the case against 92-year-old Theodore McCarrick, who has dementia. The court will review the case again in late December of this year. McCarrick is accused of sexually assaulting a boy at a residence in Lake Geneva. Back in 1977, the charge against McCarrick arose from a report to Wisconsin's Clergy and Faith Leader Abuse Initiative. Now, McCarrick never lived or worked in Wisconsin, but he made visits here and was able to be charged because the statute of limitations on child sex abuse pauses if the perpetrator leaves the state and does not return. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There's further information on remains found on Wisconsin tribal lands. Menominee Tribal Police and the FBI say their investigation found that the human skeleton discovered by a hunter October 30th on the Menominee Indian Reservation belonged to an adult male between the ages of 23 and 33 who had been dead for a range between 1 and 10 years. Authorities say the remains don't match a known missing person from the reservation or the surrounding area.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A winter storm warning is in effect now. Snow will become heavy at times, putting down 3 to 5 inches today. Winds will start to whip up to 35 miles per hour, blowing and drifting snow, recovering roads and creating treacherous travel. As a lighter and fluffier snow falls tonight, laying down another 3 to 5 inches. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 17 degrees.
Real Country. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN. And once again, good afternoon. I'm Brian Winnikins. We do have some cancellations that we do need to pass along from the Durand, Arkansas School District. Tonight's girls basketball game against Boyceville has been canceled. Wrestling in Hillsboro canceled, and the middle school wrestling at Boyceville also canceled. So again, the girls basketball game tonight at Durand, Arkansas High School has been canceled, along with wrestling at Hillsboro and middle school wrestling at Boyceville.
Discussion about that and an update on where things stand. Coming up after the bottom of the hour in segment three, we'll talk with the new chair of the United Soybean Board, Steve Reinhardt from Ohio. He's going to join us to talk about some of his priorities for the year ahead as he takes over as chair of the United Soybean Board. And then coming up at the end of the show, we're going to stay with a focus on soy a little bit. There is currently a trade trip to Southeast Asia put on by Northern Soy Marketing. And one of the farmers on that trip, Eugene Gehring from Nebraska, is going to join the show and give us an update on some of the things they are talking about with folks on that trade mission to Vietnam and other countries in Southeast Asia. So we're looking forward to that conversation coming up here at the end of the program. First up, though, we want to talk about sorghum, millets. Joining us for a conversation, Sorghum United CEO Nate Bloom is with us. And Nate, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate the time.
Jesse, it's an absolute pleasure. And I just want to thank you on behalf of our organization for the impactful work that you do in American agriculture here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And let's dive in here. There's a few things I wanted to talk about with you today. And first up, let's just talk. I know there's a new initiative, an Indo-U.S. Millets Initiative, that we're going to dive into here a little bit. But just set the stage for us. Why are millets and sorghum, why do they have untapped potential here to kind of strengthen food security and whatnot here for U.S. Farmers, et cetera? Just kind of set the stage for us of what we're looking at right now amongst millets and sorghum.
Well, the first thing I like to share with folks is that I'm a farm kid and I recognize the importance of all crops, right? So we're promoting sorghum and millets, but that's not at the expense of, say, corn and soybeans and wheat, et cetera. What we're really interested in is diversification, both in cropping systems as well as economically for farmers to tap into. So to your question, why do sorghum and millet have untapped potential? Well, let's back up for a second. The first thing I like to tell people is there is no such thing as millets, even though we're actually just wrapping up the International Year of Millets at the United Nations. And so what do I mean when I say that? That millets is actually a catch-all term that was given to a variety of small grains, different species of grains that were commonly grown in places like Africa and India, where the climate was more arid. And the European colonial powers didn't recognize what these grains were, and so they put them in a catch-all called millets. So that said, millets and sorghum in most of the world is considered a major millet, so we're just going to lump it in there. But these are amongst the first grains that were cultivated by mankind. And so what that means is that they're highly nutritive. The gut microbiome is actually naturally predisposed to becoming healthier when they're included in the diet. And we know that through research that's been published in the journal Nature from the Food for Health Center in particular. And there's a ton of other research on the health benefits we can talk about later as well. What does it mean for American farmers, though, if we can grow value-added markets for sorghum? Well, presently, sorghum in the U.S. Is primarily sent to China. In fact, the Chinese buy 93% of U.S. sorghum. They buy 80% of the world's supply of sorghum. And what that means is you've got a commodity market that is largely driven by one player, and that doesn't always provide the highest value to farmers here, especially in places like Nebraska, where we're in the middle of the country, and we can't capture the premium you can get when you're proximate to a port. And so what we're trying to do, both in the U.S. as well as other places around the world that are geographically central these grains or production is available is to provide opportunities for value-added processing proximate to the grains.
Okay.
And so that's where farmers, if you are able to get a portion of your cropping system under contract with a local processor, you can mitigate the commodity marketing risk that you're finding in your other crops. And so that's what we're trying to do. And Nebraska is geographically central to the U.S., but you could do this. You could say the same in Uganda or parts of India, things like that.
Well, talk about some of the goals of this Indo-U.S. Millets Initiative. Tell us a little more about what this is. I want to make sure folks understand this here. We got a few more minutes of this segment. Give us some details on this initiative.
Right. So the Indo-U.S. Millets Initiative really does two things. It continues the important conversation of the International Year of Millets beyond the International Year, or what our organization is calling the IYM Plus One. So that's the first thing it does. The second thing it does is through private sector, and we're an NGO, we're a non-governmental, apolitical organization, no taxpayer dollars go into what we do. But what it allows us to do is to build stronger relationships between us here in the U.S., like-minded organizations here in the U.S., and like-minded organizations in India. And that will be important in facilitating additional opportunities for trade, facilitating opportunities for intergovernmental interactions, and all these other things. So it really does a couple of things. We're really pleased to be a part of that. Our signature partners right now include the North American Millets Alliance, the University of Nebraska, the Dougherty Water for Food Global Institute, and the India Millet Initiative. And I'll actually be heading to India a week from today. I'll be in Goa, sunny and warm Goa, as I have a blizzard out here behind me. and we're going to be bringing on more partners while I'm over there as well. So look for, we're doing a conference right now, actually already scheduled in Lucknow, India, on the 2nd of February. That'll be available via Zoom. And we'll record that as well, because it'll be middle of the night here back home. So people can check into that as well. You can find it on Sign Up Genius. Just look for Indo-U.S. Millets Initiative.
Sure. Well, Nate, good stuff here. And again, as we look at the International Year of the Millet and all the work that you do with Sorghum United, how can folks stay up to date with things that are going on and your travels and the work that you're doing? I'm sure online, sorghumunited.com, probably a great place to start, isn't it?
Yeah, sorghumunited.com. We also have a series of children's books that we sell as part of our education and outreach effort. Those are sorgosquad.com. So you can check those out. We're all over the social media, so you can find us just about anywhere there. And then we have a global WhatsApp group. So if you actually want to become part of the, our growing network, which we have hundreds of members on every continent, except for Antarctica, you know, feel free to join that as well. So we've got a lot of great things in store here for 2024. And I can't even, we don't have enough time to get into all of those things. So stay tuned, stay plugged in, and, you know, become part of the movement.
Well, we'll have to get you back on AOA again soon for a longer conversation and an update on some of the work you're doing with Sorghum United. And again, folks can learn more, sorghumunited.com. With that, the CEO of Sorghum United, Nate Bloom, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Really appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Jesse, an absolute pleasure. Thank you again.
All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at a new land values report from Farmers National Company. Paul Shattuck with Farmers National Company joins us next here on AOA. On the January episode of the Monthly Grind, we talk about the relationship between the U.S. Grains Council and the NCGA with Denny Vitacotta from NCGA and Ellen Zimmerman from the Grains Council.
Our mission is developing markets, enabling trade, and improving lives. And NCGA is, of course, a really important partner in making that happen. We do a lot of work with trade policy, trade servicing, and demand building. And NCGA comes along right beside us in trade policy efforts domestically and, of course, demand building, too.
You know, they can't go to the Hill and lobby like for more funding for MAP and F&D, and that's where we come in. That's our job, is to go to the Hill and lobby to get more funds, or if there's a policy or a trade barrier in another country that's prohibiting trade. And so that's where the growers, we start knocking on doors and making phone calls to representatives to try to help this trade along.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the Monthly Grind. It's a show you don't want to miss. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasters.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, of course, we continue to keep our eyes on land values and what the cost of our ag land is across the country. And a new report out from Farmers National Company is taking a look at some of these land values, and wanted to talk about this. So We put in a call to Paul Shattuck with Farmers National Company to join us back on AOA and discuss. Paul, great to have you on the show today. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Glad to be here anytime.
Well, let's dive into this. And the headline I saw for this new report, 2024 brings a resilient agland market. So talk about that a little bit. Let's just start broadly. What are you guys seeing in terms of land values here? Give us an update, Paul.
Yeah, Jesse, as we've gone through the last 6 months, the word that kept coming to mind for me was resiliency, because in spite of all the headwinds that we're experiencing with some declining commodity markets and interest rate pressures and potential net income, farm net income issues, the land market has pretty well held its own. When we look across the Midwest, we do see some of those high quality farms still bringing a premium. But overall, things have kind of settled to a new normal. And, you know, we're kind of looking forward to, unless something drastic changes, that'll probably continue as we get into 2024.
Well, Paul, I know we had a conversation with you here a few weeks ago, and looking at some of this new data, an update as well. Anything changing as far as who the buyers are? Is it still mainly local farmer operators, or are we seeing other folks step into the ag land market right now?
Yeah, not much has changed when we look at who those buyers are, who the successful buyer of that land. And as you and I've talked before, one reason that some of these values are maintaining the levels that they've run up to the last few years is that we've got people in the background, these investors and investment funds and individual land investors that are still very motivated to get in that market. And so they're definitely holding that floor, but those local operators are the ones that have the highest level of motivation to add to their operation, or buy a piece of land that has adjoined them and hasn't come up for sale for a long time. So it definitely is remaining those over 70% of the time the local farmer operator is the buyer.
Paul, what are some of the dynamics that you guys are looking at here as we get into 2024 that could affect land values? I know you brought up commodity prices, and I would have to imagine that input costs, things like that, probably going to be some of the effects here this year. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, those factors are definitely on our radar, especially right now where we've kind of had a hiccup in commodity markets. You know, that's a main driver in land values. But we're also looking at some of the data that's coming out from the Fed reports that show, you know, this increase in lending, which kind of creates some additional expense for a buyer, mm-hmm. because now they've got a higher interest expense than what they may have had the last couple years. And then input costs have kind of been shuffling downward a little bit. There's still some that input costs that are going up, some seed costs that have seen some increases, but overall fertilizer and fuel have dropped a little bit. So that's going to help create a better net income picture. But then the one thing that did come out here in the last week was a report from the Fed talking about how they foresee a softening of the farm economy as we move into 2024. Mm-hmm. And that's something we'll really have to watch. And then on the outside of everything, those geopolitical events and potentially the environmental with some potential drought or rainfall issues, and really want to put, once we put all that together, you know, we'll be a lot smarter as we get three mm-hmm. or 4 months down the road. But yeah, definitely things we want to watch closely.
Paul, another thought here, and I'm not sure how much you guys looked at this in your report, and maybe we could talk about it a little bit at least. We got a lot of talk across the country and in D.C. about foreign ownership of ag land and farmland here in the U.S. Is that conversation something that you foresee could have an impact either positively or negatively on farmland values here this year?
Well, certainly, Jesse, that is a hot topic at any landowner meeting we go to, and get that question asked a lot. The fact of the matter is that it's such a small segment of the ag land market. And what I mean by the actual foreign ownership of land. But then there are states that have, you know, made this more of an issue by implementing either a ban on the foreign ownership of land, or taking into account that a foreign person can't buy land within 10 miles of a facility, a military facility or things like that. And so it's definitely a hot topic. It does not have much impact on values. It's more of a point of discussion, and you know, the American people in general don't want the land owned by someone who's not an American. So I think that's where we're hearing more about it than what it's going to be an impact in values.
Okay. All right. We're talking with Paul Shattuck, Senior Vice President of Real Estate Operations for Farmers National Company. Paul, I know as well you guys just released a regional land value report coupled with your full kind of nationwide report here. When you look regionally, was there any big theme? Was there any segment of the country that maybe stood out a little bit more with a headline, so to speak, in terms of land values? Talk about the regional report a little bit for us as well.
Now, when we look at that as a whole, it's pretty much the same when we average everything across the board, that those land values are maintaining the values that were set over the past several years, maybe somewhat of a settling to a new normal level. But when I look at the individual regional reports, we've seen some great success out in Indiana and Illinois, high quality ground out there that is bringing a premium. And of course, Iowa is always in the mix with you know, some of those better quality farms, still a lot of competition for them, and it's driven those values up, probably what we'd consider above current market value. And then, you know, we've had some interesting areas. Northwest Missouri typically doesn't see a lot of land sales, and we've had quite a few in the last 6 months, and those sales have brought a premium. I think a couple things play into that, one being that a lot of that land hasn't been offered for sale in many, many years, and that's an area where operators have done quite well the last 3 to 5 years production-wise, and they're ready to expand an operation and take advantage of a piece of land that hasn't come up for sale in a while. So those, if we have to sort out any real hot spots, those would be where I would concentrate. And then on the flip side of that, when we go farther out west where they've been in drought and they've experienced some production struggles, those we're starting to see some declining values, nothing major, but definitely stepping back and saying, hey, I think we're paying too much unless we can break ourselves out of this weather cycle.
Well, Paul, let's wrap it up here before we run out of time in this segment. As we move into 2024, Farmers National Company, I'd wonder if pipeline filling up, do we have a lot of land auctions and listings already out there as we start the early part of the year?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time analyzing, you know, what we're doing as a company and where we are in comparison to 5 and 10 year averages. And we're pretty encouraged because what we've seen the last 6 months is definitely above our 5 year average. And we had somewhat of a slow year a year ago, and then that has definitely recovered. We're back up on volume and also on value. So we're encouraged that there's going to be some pretty good momentum going into 2024 to, again, maintain. We don't see any sharp increases in value, but I think we're set to maintain some values as long as we don't have any big bumps in the road that slow that down.
I'm sure folks want to take a look at the full report. FarmersNational.com is a great place to find that report, isn't it, Paul?
Yep, that's the best place to find it. And also you'll find other comments and news events on the website also.
FarmersNational.com. And with that, we appreciate the conversation with Paul Shadegg, or Paul Shadegg, Senior Vice President of Real Estate Operations, Farmers National Company. Paul, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Appreciate the time.
You bet, Jesse. Thank you.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to talk with the new chair of the United Soybean Board, Steve Reinhardt. That's next here on AOA.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 8 to 15.95, March up 2 to 16.33, April up 3 to 17.08, May up 5 at 17.73. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets and hog markets closed mostly lower, profit taking ahead of the 3-day holiday weekend, while feeder cattle closed higher as the market found buying interest late in the session to move prices higher. February live cattle down 42 cents to 171.37. January feeder cattle up 30 cents to 226.57. And February hogs down 70 cents to 71.90. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all closed mostly lower after the USDA WASDE report estimated a larger corn, soybean, and even wheat crop. March corn down 10 and 3 quarters to 447. New crop down 8 to 481 and 3 quarters. January beans down 25 and a half to 1205 and 3 quarters. And new crop down 5 and a half to 1201. January soybean meal down 10 to 351.30. January soybean oil down 62 cents to 47.75. Chicago wheat, March down 7 and 3 quarters to 596, while May down 6 and 3 quarters to 610. Minneapolis wheat, March down a half to 699 and a half. With this market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
You wouldn't let a little cold weather or snow interrupt your outdoor cooking experience. No, of course not. You're the master of the pit. No wind or snow or ice is slowing you down. So that's why we at Grandpa's Barbecue salute you. The rich, original flavor of barbecue the way it was meant to be. But you should also know that it works great in a crock pot, too. Shh, you didn't hear that from us. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for sticking with us here today. Well, let's flip the conversation over to soybeans. And joining us now On the program, the newly elected chair of the United Soybean Board, Steve Reinhard from Ohio, is with us. Steve, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Well, Steve, let's start. Tell us a little bit about your farm and your background, your operation there in Ohio. And I know you have quite a bit of experience with the United Soybean Board. Can you give us just a little background on your operation and your role up to now with USB?
Sure thing. On our farm there in Ohio, we raise soybeans, corn, malting barley, wheat, and a little bit of hay. So we have quite a bit going on all throughout the course of the year. And it's a pretty interesting day. We had a really good harvest this fall and actually through the summer months too with the barley and the wheat. And so it's been a pretty good year there in Ohio. Previously on United Soybean Board, I served as treasurer and vice president. When you're vice president, you oversee the Value Alignment Committee. And that committee is responsible for the direction of our annual checkoff investments and building those portfolios. So pretty good vision of how, we're working to get the return on investments back to our farmers through their checkoff dollars. And I've also done that with the Ohio Soybean Council, where I served as chair. And, a really good time there. And then we started the Arable Research Lab also, which, again, looks at new uses for specifically oil. Products can be made out of soybean oil. And along with my brother there on the farm, I also served as an ag educator and an FFA advisor and served as a county commissioner and then even spent some time in the Ohio House of Representatives.
Well, you have a lot of extensive experience by the sound of it, Steve. And I have to think that that's got to help shape some of your priorities for your term as the chair of the United Soybean Board here this upcoming year. So let's talk about that a little bit. Lay it out for us. What are some of your top priorities here for your term as chair of the United Soybean Board this year?
Sure. So as you know, we like to, our vision is to deliver a sustainable soy solution to every life every day. And that's what we continue to strive for and building that, again, that checkoff, value back to the farmers, that $12.34 for every dollar that we invest coming back to the farmers. But I think another big priority beyond our investment portfolio this year is we're going to kick off the transition of our new CEO. Lucas Lynch came to us from the dairy industry, and he shares that American Ag has never been stronger, and with soy playing a vital role and a proven role across all sectors, be it in the animal agriculture, food supply chains and advancing energy independence, he's ready to jump in there and help guide our organization and onto our continuing investment portfolio projects. And then again, some of those projects we're going to look at is continuing to look at our infrastructure and how can we continue to keep it a viable tool to move our soybeans and our other commodities, really, for that matter, across the country and to get them to export facilities or get them to, crush plants here in the United States for domestic use. And again, we continue to look at new uses, and we have over 1,000 different soybean-based products today on the market. And that's all a lot of thanks to the R&D efforts by the Soybean Checkoff. And biofuels just continue to be a bigger player and really driving the oil industry right now in the soybean sector. But that creates a great story for our animal friends as well, because then we have more meal for them. And we know that by including more soybean meal in those rations, especially early in pigs, broilers, and laying hens, it really pays dividends on their production as well.
Well, Steve, you brought up crush, and we're seeing a rapid expansion of crush, and you mentioned meal as well, and it really feels like in the soy industry, you kind of alluded to this, finding new avenues for soybean use here in the U.S. It feels like things are shifting a little bit in how we grow and use soybeans. So talk about some of that domestic demand a little bit more. Your thoughts as we kind of shift things a little bit and see that expansion of soy crush and the use of meal for animal feed and more. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So as we look at soybean crush, we're, of course, getting the meal and the oil out of that that process. And that oil, a lot of it is being used in the biofuel industry. And we know traditional bio-based diesel fuel is a market we're going to continue to have. But as we look forward, I think renewable diesel will continue to grow and be a bigger factor as well. But we think we have a good path for that. And then sustainable aviation fuel is right around the corner as well. And that's going to be a big user of our bio-based products as well. So then we have the meal left over. And we know that through our research that if we use a higher concentration of soybean meal in those diets, especially in pigs and broilers at an early age, we get a better yield from them as well. So that's also helping us on the domestic side. And then we look at other new uses and oil. I told a story yesterday to a person that, we can feed that meal to our pigs. We can get them on the trailer ready for market, jump in that Ford pickup with soybean oil in the foam of the seats, the tires that are, we're driving the truck on. Made by Goodyear. I can wear my Skechers tennis shoes with that same technology in the soles of the shoe. Get onto that gravel road that's been treated with a soybean dust repellent type product or suppression product. And I can even pull onto the highway, which is possibly made with asphalt, which contains soybean oil.
Steve, how about international markets and exports and some of that market development? What are some priorities there for you and the United Soybean Board here this year?
Sure. So we want to continue to drive that demand. We know that we have a sustainable product, and one of the things we're working on now is the Farmers Versus Soil Health, which is a sustainability measure, and it's a way that we can put a sustainability label on the products that we raise. And we know even in our overseas markets, a lot of people are starting to stress the need that they want to provide, or they want something provided to them that's been produced in a sustainable way. And that's why we've worked with our export people, the United Soybean Export Council, and we've developed that sustainability assurance protocol certificate. And we know that 60% of our exports going out of the U.S. in 2022 contained that certificate program. We continue to look at aquaculture, although aquaculture is not does not use a huge amount of meal. It's still being able to provide nutrition to a lot of people in Asian countries, and even in the Asian countries, when they feed that sustainably produced soybean from the United States, they're able to sell that product sometimes at a premium, which then helps their economies as well. And we know that when people are nourished and they don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, it creates a better environment worldwide for all of us concerned.
Well, Steve, we're about out of time. Appreciate the conversation and an update from you as chair of the United Soybean Board. And I should ask as we wrap it up here, for you in the year ahead, anything as far as misconceptions maybe about the soy checkoff? We know there's been some attacks out there against checkoffs as a whole in agriculture. Is there any, myths you need to look at dispelling there as a priority? Or on the flip side, are there any, positive stories that you want to continue to tell here about what's going on with the soy checkoff? I'll kind of leave that open-ended for you here for a final question.
Sure. I think our story, basically, every 5 years we have to do a study, and that's demanded by the USDA. To see what the result of the checkoff has been. So we've done our last study, and that was done by a third party group, and they came back for every dollar that we've invested in the checkoff. The farmers have received $12.34 back in value, and that's just a great story, I think, to tell that we look at how we're going to invest these projects, and they can only be in things really that are going to produce value back to the farmers. And the checkoff is a farmer-driven program, paid for by farmers, administered by farmers for the benefit of farmers. So, it's really been a good model, and I think that when we do our next study here in the next year or so, I think that we'll probably even see maybe better benefits than we did in this one.
Steve, appreciate the conversation and the thoughts there. Really, thank you for the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thanks for joining us today on AOA. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Jesse.
Steve Reinhard, the chair of the United Soybean Board from Ohio. You can learn more as well and stay up to date on projects that the United Soybean Board is working on, unitedsoybean.org. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we are going to talk with Eugene Gehring. He is on a trade trip to Vietnam. He's a Nebraska farmer, and he's with Northern Soy Marketing. We'll talk to him on the way next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Start learning a new language today at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
This year, wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair and to start feeling confident with the way you look? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker-looking hair. Hair Grow is backed by an exclusive U.S. patent and is clinically proven to promote more hair growth. One actual Hair Grow customer writes, "After trying Hair Grow for a month and a half, my hair began to grow and thicken with no breakage when combing or shampooing. My hair is beginning to look great." Another writes, "A friend of mine noticed lots of increased hair growth. I couldn't be happier with the results and highly recommend this product for anyone with thin hair." Start looking and feeling your best with Hair Grow. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com. That's New, NordicUSA.com. Amazon, or ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens. New year, new you, New Nordic.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking to Lance Kennington, an animal nutrition specialist with CHS, about bull management. Lance, what is an optimal body score condition target producers should aim for in reconditioning bulls?
Bulls should be at least in a body condition score of 5 and preferably a 6 at breeding time, and this will ensure that they will be able to pass a breeding soundness exam as well as have enough energy reserves to get them through the breeding season. Bulls that are too thin or too fat have a tough time breeding cows.
What should producers consider when developing a bull nutrition program?
Yeah, the first thing, ensure that you're using good quality forages that are free of mold. Molds can produce mycotoxins that can interfere with reproductive health. The second thing, be careful to formulate the diet to meet the bull's energy, protein, vitamin, and mineral requirements. Third thing, bulls need a clean, fresh water source. And the fourth thing, limit the amount of starch being fed by using high-quality forages and highly digestible fiber sources like corn co-products, wheat meds, soy hulls, those kind of things. The fifth thing, research has shown that omega-3 fatty acids from flax oil can improve semen quality and quantity. and improve reproductive rates. So consider adding that to your program using Flax Slick tubs from New Generation Feeds or Payback Power Booster. Research has also shown that organically complex zinc, copper, manganese, and cobalt from Zinpro Performance Minerals will improve semen quality and quantity. In winter, bulls need to be provided with protection from the wind and bedding to protect themselves from frostbite, so be prepared to provide that.
Well, we've been talking to Lance Kennington, an animal nutrition specialist with CHS. Lance, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, Eugene Gehring. He is with the Nebraska Soybean Board, and he is a director for Northern Soy Marketing. And currently, he is overseas in Vietnam as a delegation is headed over to Southeast Asia here for Northern Soy Marketing. And he's joining us right now to tell us more about what is going on in Southeast Asia on this trip. And Eugene, first off, thanks so much for joining us here today. How are things in Vietnam right now?
You know, this is my first travel here, and it's really exciting to see. It's a young population. It's a growing population. They're very energetic and very excited to improve their soy use in this country.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit with this trip for Northern Soy Marketing and looking at improving their soy use in the country. Highlight some of the things that you guys have been working on and seen during this trip so far.
Well, we visited with different companies here that are crushers and makers of feed and food processing. And Northern Soy Marketing, our goal is to educate the buyers here so they understand the value of our soy that's higher in amino acids and might have a blend that will work better for them. We're educating about the transportation systems out of the Pacific Northwest and the rail from the Midwest. We're educating about the reliability and sustainability of our product. And we want them to understand that we have a product that should be very beneficial to them. And it should be beneficial to us to make additional connections to market more meal and more soy.
Well, and thinking about Vietnam's agriculture economy, I believe they're the sixth largest pork producer, fourth largest aquaculture producer. There's 13th largest soy consumer. So there's a lot of opportunity here for U.S. Soybeans to make their way over to Vietnam, isn't there?
Yeah, they're a large importer, and today we visited with shippers and people that move the beans from here to there. We also are explaining to them that the crush is growing rapidly in the U.S. And from Nebraska, we're adding two new crush plants, possibly a third crush plant. As we add these crush plants, that gives us the oil for the sustainable aviation fuels and for the biodiesel and renewable diesel. So we're using the oil within the United States. The soybean meal has to find a home. And I've heard that the U.S. crush is going to increase by 25%. With domestic use, that means we need to find foreign markets for about 50% more meal than we're currently exporting. So we're actively seeking markets that will be able to utilize this crushed meal that we're producing.
Well, and I think when looking for those markets and building those relationships, it's important to take trips like this, isn't it, Eugene, to kind of shake hands and have a face-to-face conversation with folks so they better understand the high-quality soybeans that we're providing here from the U.S., isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we get to put on demonstrations and we present video and show slides from home, and we're constantly trying to put a face to the sustainability, the reliability of our farms. We share pictures of our farms and our combines and our planting and harvesting, and we're trying to see that we do have a good quality, that we do have a sustainable system, and I see the people ask questions of us, and it's apparently that we're making connections that I hope will be very beneficial to the U.S. soy farmers.
When you talk with folks on this trip here throughout Southeast Asia, do you hear any misconceptions in terms of soybean production in the U.S. and any myths that you guys have to maybe dispel a little bit on these trips?
A lot of the buyers are familiar with soy. We're just trying to point out the benefits of the U.S. soy. Not a lot of myths, but we're trying to get conceptions straight. You know, the United States is a big country, and we're trying to emphasize the logistics of the rail to the West Coast, the Pacific Northwest. That's the main route that they're using. They're asking us questions about transportation around the world because of the conflicts through the Suez Canal now. They're concerned about that. The water shortages in the Panama Canal are questions. So they're asking us questions, and we're trying to make them feel confident that the Pacific Northwest and the northern soy should be a reliable supply that would fit their needs.
On the opposite end of that spectrum, Eugene, I'm sure hearing probably some good things as well from these potential buyers in Vietnam and Cambodia. I know you guys are have been in Cambodia as well. And talk about that a little bit. I'm sure there's with a lot of those questions, there's a lot of good things that you hear as well, isn't there?
Oh yeah, this part of the world, they're rapidly growing populations. They're rapidly growing populations of young people. And as their incomes come up, they want to consume a better diet, so the meat is growing. The other thing that's happening is Vietnam, with their aquaculture, is exporting aquaculture back to areas like Japan, the Philippines, and Korea. And so one other thing that we're learning is the USAC people are here, and they're explaining the certification that they can put U.S. soy foods and have a quality product that they can sell to help them sell food products throughout the world. If it goes into other places, they want to be able to have sustainable soy on their label. So we're explaining some of the benefits that USAC and the Northern Soy Marketing can provide to help their businesses grow.
Well, really great stuff. And again, I hope you all enjoy your trip and have safe travels back home as you wrap up your trip to Southeast Asia with Northern Soy Marketing. Eugene, thanks for joining us here on the program today and giving us an update. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking again soon.
Okay. Well, I hope that all goes well with you and soybean farmers to get through this cold weather and be ready for spring planting. Thanks.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Thank you as well. Eugene Gehring, Nebraska soybean farmer from Columbus, Nebraska, a director for Northern Soy Marketing. He's also a member of the Nebraska Soybean Board, joining us on the phone from Vietnam. Northern Soy Marketing has their delegation over in Southeast Asia, and they should be returning home sometime next week. We're out of time on this episode of AOA. Coming up on our next program, we'll recap the big USDA January reports. We'll also talk to Christine McDaniel from the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA. On the January episode of the Monthly Grind, we talk about the relationship between the U.S. Grains Council and the NCGA with Denny Vitacotter from NCGA and Ellen Zimmerman from the Grains Council.
Our mission is developing markets, enabling trade, and improving lives. And NCGA is, of course, a really important partner in making that happen. We do a lot of work with trade policy, trade servicing, and demand building. And NCGA comes along right beside us in trade policy efforts domestically and, of course, demand building, too.
You know, they can't go to the Hill and lobby like for more funding for MAP and F&D, and that's where we come in. That's our job, is to go to the Hill and lobby to get more funds, or if there's a policy or a trade barrier in another country that's prohibiting trade. And so that's where the growers, we start knocking on doors and making phone calls to representatives to try to help this trade along.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the Monthly Grind. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight...
Hey, is this line secure?
Franco cybersecurity firm secured a contract, and that's all we're allowed to say.
We have a green light on hiring.
He needs web security professionals with a military background.
Three teams of four, 24-hour rotations, but Protocol Zulu is on a need-to-know basis.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard, so you can stay organized and connected all the way to the hire. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsor.